All right. It's good to have everybody out tonight. Isn't it good to have the heater on? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Doug, do you mind closing that door?
Okay.
We're going to sing. We're going to start with our songs out of our praise book.
Yay!
And Doug, if you could show Charlotte and Daniel what we mean by praise book.
These books right here.
Oh.
Yeah. We call them praise books, but they're really just more hymns and songs, spiritual songs. Hymns, and spiritual songs. But those are songs that aren't in our hymn book, so we started another one. And we've been adding to it little by little over the years. Page 28. 28 is where we're starting. Where is the page 28? I'm missing page 28. Our study tonight is about angels. Angels and Jesus. And you'll see in our songs, there are frequent references to angels. So let's start with this one. This world is not my home.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My Savior pardoned me from guilt and shame, I know. I'll trust the saving grace while traveling here below.
Singing. Did you see the reference to angels in there?
Yes.
Where's that at?
Okay,
I just make sure you pay attention. It's important you read and pay attention to the lyrics as you sing. How many of you sang a hymn and got through the entire thing without really even knowing what you're singing?
I have.
Yeah. And that's why I remind you, just to try to remind yourself to pay attention.
You
mean,
don't zone out.
All right, page 49 is O Come Angel Band. That's kind of obvious reference to angels. That'll be in the chorus again. Now, one of my favorite eras to study in history is about the time this song was written, 1860. I don't like the Civil War, but I like studying that era. I never have been a fan of war. But this was written in 1860. Jefferson Haskell, Oh Come Angel Band. It's Luke 16. We're going to probably talk about that in a couple of weeks. When your time comes, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, an angel is going to come and pick you up.
Amen.
And that's the Bible. I used to think that was just Hollywood until I read the Bible. Hollywood gets it right 1 out of 100 about, you know, got to check your Bible, whatever they
Best
are telling
lie
you.
Has a little bit of truth in it.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't really apply to what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that once in a while. Anyway, page 44, just over in the glory land. I'm going to use my book for this one. 44. Sometimes those old songs just get it right. Yep. All right. For the sake of our visitors, I'll explain that we have an online live stream that goes on. I don't know if you've seen that, but we have usually about 100 people from all over the country and several different and several other countries. Maybe someone from England on there tonight, if he stays up that late. Sometimes he'll go to bed and watch it the next day. And then we might have a few more from BBF Local who stayed home to watch it online. Greg and Linda, if
maybe,
you're on.
Maybe Woo.
So, you know, the star of the show is usually a little cute little thing called Bronwyn, but she's under the weather, so she's not here tonight.
Yeah.
So raise your hand if you want a prayer card. And Janie will give you one with an ink pen or a pencil to write with. And yes, I've given the visitors, I gave Charlotte, Gabby, and Daniel a pen. So, Daniel, who's that next to you there that I didn't meet?
Kathy.
Kathy, keep your pen. We make sure everybody gets to keep an ink pen.
Yeah.
It's good to have you all tonight. Doug, if we get anybody else in tonight, please direct them over here because Kim looks really lonely. I mean,
we don't want this place to fall over.
Yeah, and it might tip.
Yeah, it might.
All right. Did Johnny do the Zoom thing on the camera before he ran out? Jenny? Did Johnny do the Zoom thing before he ran out? I just want to make sure for us.
Got distracted.
So we try to get a good recording because then we upload the messages onto our radio program, and then we also upload it for others to watch later on, an edited version. And everything sound good? It's
nope.
Not?
Nope.
Well, you got to turn it on.
That's what I said.
How's that? I thought I turned it on.
I got this.
Okay, thank you. Please silence your cell phone ringer. That's as much for you as it is me, because a lot of times the cell phone ringer is very embarrassing. All right. And visitors, we try to keep everything pretty casual here. Once in a while, I have to get them in line, but other than that, they're usually pretty good. Pretty good behavior.
I was homeschooled, that's why.
Doug's ears are no longer ringing, so Jessica's done a better job of not screaming and yelling back there. And
I'm sorry.
But by the way, just a reminder, I had somebody ask me again about this. If you go to the bbfohio.com website, there's a link to our 24/7 radio station. Just click on it. It comes up. You can listen on your phone or in your computer. And you'll hear preaching and singing. And that's free of charge, of course. So tonight we're going to be doing a study on angels and Jesus. Last week we did an introductory study on angels. And we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 1. If you'd like to get your Bibles open and ready. And while you're doing that, we'll go ahead and do our current events update. Number one, the communist left continues its war on freedom. Things have really changed, but as far as I'm concerned, over just the last, I don't know, less than 10 years even, that there just seems to be an all-out push toward communism in this country, and people are afraid to point it out. And just so the visitors know, I'm not afraid to point it out, and I'm ready to go down with the ship. I'm not going to be a good German. And I'm not going to just watch the Nazis and the communists censor everybody like they're doing, and I'm not going to go along with it. And if I have to, I'm going to stand out on the street and scream at people if it comes to that. But right now, we're getting the job done on radio and internet, and it looks like we're going to get a little reprieve here in November. I don't push Republicans, by the way. I push constitutionalists. I don't push a political party. I don't care if you're in a party or an independent or whatever. If you're a constitutionalist, then that's all we care about. But their numbers are dwindling as we get further and further, I believe, toward the time of the beast and the Antichrist system. This was just reported today on Getter. Getter is the alternative to the communists at Twitter. And Getter, GETTR.com. This guy goes by DC Drano. I'm not even sure what his real name is. He reported this, and I found it was true. Facebook deleted the Canada Truckers for Freedom group with over 600,000 followers. Facebook is run by corporate communists.
Yep.
And they are doing everything they can to act like Vladimir Lenin and Joseph Stalin. And they are censoring anybody they don't agree with. They're trying to punish people they don't agree with. Also, GoFundMe is restricting the $5 million raised to support that movement in Canada. So you gotta just start picking who you're going to do business with if you love your country. If you love your Savior, there's a lot of businesses who are Antichrist. If you love your country, there's a lot of corporate communists out there. This is sad. Amen?
It is. Amen.
What's even more sad? The fact that people still use Facebook and GoFundMe. I'm just saying to the rest of the world, come on. Come on. We already know they're a bunch of Christ-hating, America-hating communists. They're censoring everybody. They're doing everything they can to push us into hell. So what do? Turn them off. Delete your Facebook account. Go to MeWe.com.
Amen.
Delete your YouTube account and go to Rumble.com. Delete Twitter and go to Getter.com. If your family won't follow you there, they must not really love you. Amen. I've got a bunch of family and friends that stay on those communist websites, and as far as I'm concerned, they must not really care about me. If they care, it's not just me, it's other people on those other websites. And it's time, it's just time that Christians and real Americans stop bootlicking and say, you know what, if you're going to be a real American and a real Christian, I'm with you. If not, then you're just going to have to do without me. You know, I think that's what Jesus meant when he said, if you love your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your siblings, anybody, or your children, daughter, son, more than me, you're not worthy to be called my disciple. And there are a couple of people who use Facebook anyway, because that's where all their family is, and I'm not publicly shaming them. I'm not telling everybody they're doing it, but I'm telling you, I wouldn't be doing it. I just wouldn't be doing it. There comes a time when the communists have to be cut. And that's really what, that's all this is. Well, I'm not talking about that, Mark. Please don't say that. We're not talking about violence. We're talking about cutting the cord. And, you know, that's, that may, you know, the sad thing is if you don't do what I'm talking about now, it does come to violence. Just read a history book. So that's where we're coming. Number two. Our military is being decimated by the COVID shot side effects. This isn't being reported on the fake news. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, and yes, Fox News. They are owned by Pfizer and the big pharma companies. Just look, do a count sometime. Turn that on and watch all day long and keep your little scratch pad and go one, two, three. Every time you see one of these commercials by the drug companies. The drug companies own your news media in America, and the news media's hands are tied, and they cannot tell you the truth.
Yep, that's right.
If they do, they get fired. Just look at every time they try. They're trying to cancel a guy that I would never recommend, a guy named Joe Rogan. I wouldn't recommend him just because he gets a little nasty with his language and things like that. But I appreciate anyone. He's enjoying being American. Free speech.
Yeah.
Freedom of thought. And what are the communists trying to do? Cancel it. How many of you remember the 60s? You know, all the peaceniks in the 60s. I don't remember them because I wasn't born until September of 69, just full disclosure. The moon landing was in July. And people have asked me, where were you when they landed on the moon? I said, I don't know. All I remember is hearing, because I was in my mommy's womb. But the 60s had all these fakes like Neil Young, remember? Singing about how he loves freedom. Yeah, he's a commie. He's trying to get Joe Rogan canceled on Spotify. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. These guys, their true colors start to shine after a while.
Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin is doing a lot of work, really brave work, actually, to expose and highlight all the unnecessary injuries and deaths inflicted on our young people by these vaccine mandates. Overreaching, tyrannical, communist man beings that are doing nothing to stop this disease. And it wouldn't matter if they did, really, because young people are at virtually no risk from COVID.
Look at those numbers on the bottom, by the way, while he's talking.
A few weeks ago, Senator Johnson had military flight surgeon Teresa Long testify on Capitol Hill about the effects that she has seen in the military firsthand. Yesterday, Attorney Thomas Renz appeared before Senator Johnson at a roundtable, and the numbers that he was talking about, the data that he exposed in front of that panel, was jaw-dropping. Look,
substantial data showing that we saw, for example, miscarriages increased by 300% over the five-year average, almost. We saw almost 300% increase in cancer over the five-year average. Cancer is not being talked about except for by Dr. Ryan Cole. Thank you, doctor. We saw, this one's amazing, neurological. So neurological issues which would affect our pilots. Over 1,000% increase. 1,000.
Well, thanks to Teresa Long and other doctors like her, thanks to people like Thomas Renz, we're continuing to collect all kinds of stories of what's really going on in the military, completely whitewashed by the media, ignored completely by Fox News Channel. Soldiers who were perfectly healthy are now battling heart problems. You heard Thomas Renz, miscarriages up 300%. Senator Johnson gasped, neurological issues for pilots up tenfold. All for a virus that our soldiers, sailors, and airmen are at near zero risk from. They're almost all in their 20s and 30s and at the peak of physical health. Or at least they were until this sinister shot was forced into them. But the Biden regime simply won't quit. Even as the vaccines fail, more and more vaccinated people are showing up in our hospitals, proving that this was never a pandemic of the unvaccinated at all.
And that's the truth. And and anybody out there watching who has already been vaccinated, it's still not a majority of people who are having these effects. But if you start having any problem with your heart, breathing, signs of blood clots, neurological issues, and get to a doctor. Don't go to the hospital. The hospitals will not actually diagnose you and treat you right. And that's a sad and scary thing, that you go to the hospital with these symptoms, and they'll tell you it has nothing to do with the vaccine. They don't have any science to back up that statement. They just have financial interests.
That's right.
If not sooner, these people will face the wrath of God at a great white throne. What people? The people responsible for what they're doing to these young men and women in our military, and they're trying to do it to all the children in this country. Number three, the government and Marxist media are creating a culture of fear in order to put you under control. I tell everybody all the time, you have to take precautions for yourself if you are one of those in danger, if you have comorbidities or whatever. But what I'm talking about is trying to make you afraid to live, trying to make you afraid of life. The late, great Carl McIntyre explains how a Christian should deal with fear.
But this question of fear, we're all afraid of it. And there are things in relationship to this fear that you and I have to recognize. That if you trust in God and let Him be your guide and strength, you won't have that fear. And your fear is in relationship to your trust. As your faith in God gets stronger, your fear dissipates. And as your faith in God gets weaker, your fear arises. You want to have fear dissipated and removed, then you rise up and hold up the name of the living God and look to Him to undertake for you, and He will. It's our faith that brings victory. It's our faith that casts out fear and enables us to put our trust in the blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will worship the man of Galilee who went to a cross 2,000 years ago, and no one can take his place. No one will intercede or interfere. We will not permit it. So it is, we have faith without fear.
Amen. Now you ask, who's Carl McIntyre? He was a warrior against Marxism in his day. He was the target of the so-called fairness doctrine. And if you ever heard of that fairness doctrine, it was to try to shut him up because, folks, I'm here to tell you, fake news ain't anything new. It's just that now we have an internet and we have interconnectedness and now people can do something about it. Walter Cronkite was an antichrist.
Yep, right.
And he did everything he could to push a left-wing agenda in this country. And after he retired from CBS, he went to work for the One World Movement. And they awarded him with an amethyst. And guess who gave the introductory speech when, you remember Anderson, the guy who ran for president back in the 80s?
Johnny Anderson.
Yeah. He's the president of the World Federalist Society, and he's given Walter Cronkite an award for his work toward a one-world government, and guess who gives the speech? Hillary.
That's right.
That's who gave the speech before they gave Cronkite his one-world beast award. But Carl McIntyre was back there in the 60s and 70s trying to wake everybody up to the fact that the most trusted word in man in news, Walter Cronkite, was a closet Marxist. But there's a lot of people to this day who are still under the spell of that lie. So that's the end of our current events update. I'll give you a moment here if you have any questions or comments you want to ask or say before you go on. Mary, start with you.
So are those truckers in Canada going to get that money?
We don't know. What GoFundMe does usually is sends it back if they don't give it to the people it's raised for. So what could happen is they send it back and those people find another way to donate. But, yeah, Mark?
Yeah, I appreciate you showing some things from Carl McIntyre. I used to listen to him a lot.
Yeah.
That man had a lot of wisdom.
They hunted and hounded him to the point where he got a ship and went so many miles off of the East Coast into international waters and blasted, not loudspeaker, you know, blasted an AM signal over the eastern half of the United States because they shut him down. Now, what kind of free country would do that? And that was in the 60s and 70s, folks. But see, what happened was is they were able to control everybody through the mainstream media and very few people spoke up against it. So they didn't need to do anything further. Now the time has come where they're trying to shut you up. And they're not succeeding, thankfully. Johnny, did you want to say something?
Yes, sir. I know you didn't mention anything about the whole Russia thing yet, huh?
No, and I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to say something. You know, I just want to say, don't get on the bandwagon for this war.
Amen. Right.
You know, everybody who got on the big bandwagon to go into Iraq regrets it. You'll regret it if you start waving the flag for war in between Russia and Ukraine. I don't want Russia to invade Ukraine. We support the Bardwell family in Ukraine, and we don't want to see them in danger.
Amen.
But the Ukraine government is as corrupt as Joe Biden.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And so if the Russians go in and do something and they don't kill a lot of people and torture a lot of people and that sort of thing, it really might not be such a bad thing. I don't know enough about the area to give more of a comment than the fact that as an American, do you know, Americans since the very beginning have been really easily stirred up to go into bad wars. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Do you know, to his credit, if it wasn't for George Washington, do you know Americans wanted, and this is the majority of Americans at the time of the founding of this country, wanted to side with the atheist murderers in the French Revolution.
Wow.
Because they were so deceived into thinking that the French Revolution was like the American Revolution.
It wasn't.
that they wanted to go over and fight with them. Yeah. And George Washington stuck to his guns, and his ratings went way down. But then by the time he was done with his presidency, everybody saw what the French Revolution was really about, and suddenly his popularity went back up.
What was it about?
It was about a bunch of atheists trying to just overthrow, they overthrew a corrupt king, but they didn't install it with the kind of republic we have here. They replaced a tyrannical king with tyrannical, well, Napoleon Bonaparte ended up being the victor in that thing for as long as he was alive. There's a lot more that goes into that, but that's why we emphasize study your Bible, number one, and number two to the Bible should be history from good sources. That's what we emphasize. Amen. All right, well, we'll get into our Bible study now, and there was one other thing I was thinking about mentioning, but I can't think of what it is now, other than the Russia-Ukraine thing. But, yeah.
Was it, I think it was Amazon and Facebook, the people in charge of them, are in support of the illegal immigration.
No, we already knew that. Now, this was something new, but if I think of it, I'll just throw it in free of charge during our Bible study. Amen.
YouTube kicked Bongino
off. Oh, that was what it was. Yeah, Dan Bongino has been totally kicked off and permanently banned by YouTube. Why? Because YouTube's run by communists. So just make sure you tell all your friends and relatives how communist YouTube is and how Rumble at this point isn't. And feel pretty good about because Rumble, Dan Bongino is involved with Rumble. So, and pray for Dan Bongino. He's been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And he's doing okay from what I see here right now, but that's a bad thing. So pray for him, and I'm not sure if he's saved. So pray for that he'd be saved. All right, let's get into our Bible study, the word of prayer. Brother Doug, would you open the Bible study, the prayer back there?
Sure. Lord, just thank you for this time. A bunch of believers coming together and enjoying and being in a place where it's nice and warm and
man,
there's plenty of food downstairs. Anyhow, Lord God, just thank you for that. But at the same time, pray for the people that are out there in the streets that have nothing and some of these battered women and whatnot that are hurt and stuff like that, and they got children and they're trying to find a safe place, and it's just really bad right now. Anyhow, we just thank you and we praise you. We pray for Brother Greg to give a real nice study and all the work that Jenny does downstairs do, Lord. Just a lot of extra work that she puts in. Anyhow, we just thank you for this time in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, if you've got your Bibles open, in Hebrews chapter 1, angels and Jesus. We don't always open with this much reading, but we're going to go ahead and read that. Wow. False teachers make Jesus a created being and elevated angel. Did you know that? The Watchtower Society Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus is actually Michael the Archangel, who became Jesus. The New Age movement kind of makes Jesus an angelic spirit being, a spirit guide. He's one of many in a line. You know, Buddha and Muhammad and Jesus are all supposed to be along the same line. All those are lies. So we will rightly divide and clarify angels and Jesus by reading, beginning with Hebrews chapter 1. I want to have you read the even verses with me. So I'm going to start in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And yes, it does say first begotten. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Amen?
Amen.
The contrast between Jesus and angels is clear. And yes, we just read through it because you need to, first of all, before you study a text, you should read it.
Amen.
Reading and studying are not the same thing. You read it first, then you study it. And we're going to look at this verse by verse real quick. We're just going to run through this. In verses 1 and 2 there, you read where it says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That would be the Old Testament. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. At the time Hebrews was written, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John were being written. And that was the account of what is being spoken of there in verse 2. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, look at this, by whom also he made the worlds. The worlds were made by Jesus, not angels.
Amen.
Jesus is creator,
amen,
according to the word of God. The angels themselves were created. So Jesus couldn't be just another angel. He's the creator of the angels. In John 1:3, it says, all things were made by him. All things? It's almost as though God knew someone was going to say all things, because then it says, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Amen.
Yeah, I just love the Lord. I think he has a sense of humor. But then verses 3 and 4, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when Jesus came, he was God manifest in the flesh. And it says, in upholding all things by the word of his power. Everything, if you go deep enough, you'll find everything boils down to, for lack of a better term, information. DNA, information. Subatomic level, information. What is information? Jesus spoke everything into existence. And when I first understood, I saw the Bible said that Jesus spoke everything into existence. Then I learned that at the bottom of everything is information. And it blew my mind because I thought, that's what the Bible said. And yet so much in science, so many scientists just totally blow that off. And there's a lot of scientists who don't blow it off too. But they just are ignored by the mainstream science. Verse 4 says, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So people are careless with the Bible, and they see that it says being made, but Jesus was made better in a practical sense in his incarnation. That's not a reference to his coming into existence. It's a reference to his name and his position in the eyes of all creation, all mankind. He was made, when he first came, just some wise men, some shepherds, his mom, and his adopted dad. Not the whole world. But now, no matter where you go in the world, people know who Jesus is.
Amen.
They may not believe everything the Bible says about him, but they know. Imagine that. Just think of that. We just take it for granted. I don't think we really let it sink in. That the effect that Jesus had and has had since he came 2,000 years ago. 1 Timothy 3:16 explains this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, the next phrase has been perverted in all your new Bibles. So if you don't have a King James Bible, get one, because the new versions mess this up. The King James says, God was manifest in the flesh. All new versions remove the reference to God.
Wow.
The whole point of the passage is the incarnation, God coming as a man, and they destroy it in the new versions. Justified in the Spirit, seen of who?
Angels.
He's not one of them. He created them, and they are basically his eyewitnesses. Mm-hmm. See, angels aren't just messengers. They're ministering spirits. They're also eyewitnesses. Preached unto the Gentiles. Everybody who's not a Jew in the room should say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Believed on in the world. Received up into glory. That's his ascension. We'll refer to in a minute in Acts chapter 1. So Hebrews 1:5 then says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee. Can you tell me what angel there is that God declared was his son? And you might notice a capital S on the word son. Because of his deity. That's Jesus. That's not talking about anyone. And it's never said about anyone with a capital S. You and I are sons of God by adoption.
Amen.
Jesus is the eternal son of God by nature. He has the same nature as the Father and the Spirit. Eternal. Never created. Always has been. Always will be.
Amen.
Jesus' elevation was in his office as Savior, not in his eternal nature. In his nature, he didn't need elevation. But in his office as Savior, there was an elevation that took place, and it was based on ignorance. Before you got saved, your first problem was ignorance. And when you are informed of the Savior, that informs you of your being a sinner and your need. Amen?
Amen.
And then you look at the law set up by Jesus. Yes, it was Jesus talking to Moses back there. And Jesus gave the law, and Moses was used of God to get the law out in front of everybody to serve as a schoolmaster and say, you can't save yourself. You need a Savior. Who's the Savior? Jesus. Johnny?
Remember when Moses, as you were talking there, I think, but it was both though, right? At least.
Both what?
God the Son and God the Father.
No.
Wasn't
it no.
The time when?
No, we'll talk more about that later, but it was Jesus who gave the law.
Okay.
He's the spokesperson for the Father. But we'll talk more about that another time, but that's a good question. It's very important to establish that. And it wasn't the Holy Spirit either. It was the second person, the Trinity. Revelation 1:8 tells us about Jesus. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Who was talking to Moses? I am. Who said he was the I am?
Jesus.
He's the Almighty. See, Jehovah's Witnesses will play this little game. They'll say, well, if you go back to Isaiah 9:6, it says, unto us a son is, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And they say, wait, see, it doesn't say Almighty. Yeah, that's how they defend their view of Jesus not being God. And my response is, well, if you want to play that game and ignore Isaiah 9:6, that's fine, but what about this one? That says the Almighty.
Amen.
But that's, and then you can go back and say, but Isaiah 9:6 says the same thing. So that's just a game people play. But only cults deny the deity of Jesus. If you're ever sitting under somebody as a teacher, if you're ever in a church and they deny that Jesus Christ is God, that he is God manifest in the flesh, that he is eternal, he is from everlasting, without beginning, without ending, get out.
Amen.
Because you're in the wrong place. People like to try to join up with the Mormons these days. And I love Mormon people. Some of them are very nice people. And man, that choir, you know. I mean, they can sing. Amen.
Yeah.
You heard them?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys sound almost as good, but come on. But as much as I love some of that stuff, I listen to it, I'm like, wow, that's good. But they, as a religion, the LDS, they call themselves the Latter-day Saints, deny that Jesus is eternal and is God. And they teach that he's created by Elohim, who was once a man and became a God and so forth. And that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. That's their official doctrine. So what you ought to do with a Mormon is don't spit on them and yell at them and do anything Mark would suggest. But, you know, but talk to them in love and say, listen, you don't even have to admit to me that you believe this. I know what you believe. I know what your church teaches, and you need to get out of there. Jesus is real, and he's God, and he wants to save you. And they'll listen a lot of times. But not all the times. But all God's asked you to do is try. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. He hasn't asked you to save anybody. Jesus is the Savior. He's done all the work. All God's asked you to do is try to talk to people about it. Mm-hmm. Then verses 6 and 7 says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now, how could Jesus be an angel and worship himself? It says, let all the angels of God worship him. So the angels are worshiping Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is worshipped and served in verse 7. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And we're going to see a couple of references to that as we continue on. But angels are not worshipped or served. And Paul warns you, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Colossians 2:18. If you are worshiping angels, you're beguiled.
Yep.
And last week we talked about the false angels, the fake angels. I love angels. I love reading about angels. But what I don't want to do is be deceived.
Amen.
And we've talked about a lot of the deceptions regarding angels, and they suck people in. Because some of the art and things is very beautiful. Very enticing and very deceptive. So you got to be very careful. What do you test? Anything you hear or see about angels, how do you test it?
Bible.
By the Word of God.
By the Word of God. If it ain't Bible, it's out.
Amen.
Verses 8 through 10 then says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Now that's, Johnny, that's the Father speaking to the Son. And what's he call the Son? The Father is speaking. He says, thy throne, O God. Why would he say that? Because it's true. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Sounds like Jesus. A lot of people say, well, my Jesus would never condemn homosexuality. My Jesus would never send anyone to hell. Your Jesus is a devil. Because my Jesus, the Bible Jesus, loves righteousness and hates iniquity. There are things when I got saved that I really liked, I enjoyed. I'm just going to confess it here because it's probably well known, I've talked about it before, but I liked drinking a lot of beer. I'd get drunk. And I liked smoking a little pot. And I liked chasing the girls. I liked it. If it, kids know, a lot of times adults will say, sin is bad, and it's you hate it. Don't do it, you'll hate it. And a lot of kids have already done it, so they know better. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. So there were a lot of things I didn't want to let go. Then I got saved, and you know what? I didn't just stand and say, I was born this way. You need to accept me as I am. That's what this generation's saying. Whatever their hang-up is. Jesus hates iniquity. And if you love Jesus and you're saved and got the Spirit of Christ in you, you should hate iniquity. And if you don't, ask him to help you hate it. Dear Lord, help me. I need to hate this stuff, and I don't. I can't go on and on about that. But therefore, God, even thy God. There again, now it's the flip side. Talking about the Father being his God. Wait a minute. How can he be his God if Jesus is God? And you know what? It all just comes down to if you believe the Trinity. If you believe the Trinity, you understand the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God. There aren't three gods, but three persons in the one Godhead. They are co-eternal, co-substantive. They have the same substance, the same nature, all omniscience, omnipotence, etc. But there is a hierarchy that they respect among each other that is kind of hard for us to grasp because, let's just face it, we've got pea brains. I mean, that's the hardest thing for people to accept. And it's like, God, if you want to put God, if you're going to talk about how God's brain, you know, and put it in terms we can understand, is the size of the universe, and our brain is the size of a grain of sand. God is bigger than the universe. God is just so amazing and beyond our comprehension, yet there are people who will not accept him unless they can understand him. Like, how crazy is that? You're never going to understand God, but what you can do is believe that when God tells you about himself, it's true. And then, you know, in heaven, we'll get to see more and know more and get to a little better understanding, I'm sure. But verse 10 says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth," Jesus. "And the heavens are the works of thine hands." That's Jesus. Jesus is called God and Lord. If he's not God, that would be blasphemy. And you'd need to burn that book you're holding. You either believe Jesus is God and Lord, as it says, or burn it. That really is the choice. We're talking about how people want to say, well, I don't believe Jesus is God, and I don't really believe in the virgin birth, and I don't really believe this, blah, 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 blah. And they'll say, but I think Jesus was a good man and a good teacher. Like, he if he isn't God and he wasn't born of a virgin, if he's not the Savior, the only Savior of the world, then he is a liar and a dangerous man. You have to make that choice. You either accept him and believe he is who the Bible says he is, or you have to believe he's the worst human being who ever lived, because he'd only be a human being. But I believe what the Bible says about him. I love Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Angels are never referred to as deity.
Right.
1 Timothy 5:21 says, "I charge thee," now watch the contrast here, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ," God and Lord, and now it says, "and the elect angels." See, the angels are not on an equal footing, equal par with Jesus. So then it closes in 11 through 14, they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. What? The entire universe. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. That's just amazing to think about. And they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. I love it when the kids ask questions. When the kids are going, "How old is Jesus?" And then you try to explain it to them. They just look at you. Without beginning. Huh?
Previous verse.
We're reading 11 through 14.
First Timothy 5:21. Thank you.
Then it says verse 13. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" Answer?
None.
He's never said that to an angel. Verse 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" And the answer is, angels minister to heirs of salvation, also ministered to the Savior himself. So such things said of Jesus are never said of angels. So let's do an overview of the angelic ministry to Jesus. And in a future study, we're going to look at the angels and the saints. But we believe that the best commentary on the Bible is the
Bible.
So we compare Scripture with Scripture. So we're going to do some reading. Jenny Albaugh will do some help with the microphone. I'll ask my wife to look up Job 38:4-7. And then Jill, would you look up Psalm 68:16-18? John, would you look up Luke 2:8-14? And Janie, John 1:50-51. And Mary, Mark 1:9-13. And Kim, Acts 1, 9 to 11. And then Johnny, Matthew 13, 41 to 43. And I don't know if the visitors are back, like, please don't call on me. Please don't call on me. But I never do that without checking first. So these people have cleared for me to pick on them. So we're going to do that. So we're going to start there as we look at angels and the fact that they serve Jesus. Angels sang and shouted as he created everything. I love this. One time somebody tried to convince me that angels never sing. I'm like, have you ever read Job? Have you read Job? Go ahead, Jenny. Job 38, 4 through 7.
Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?
Isn't that great? The morning stars sang, the sons of God. Those are all references to angels. Angels surround the Lord by the millions on his throne. I love this. Jill's going to read Psalm 68, verses 16 through 18.
Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Lord God might dwell among them.
And you think about it, I've heard this and seen this before, so I just believe it, that the 20 and thousands is like multiplication. 20 times thousands. 20, what was it, 20,000? Was it the number? 20,000 times thousands. We don't know how many angels there are. And in the future, a third is going to be cast down. How many of you heard that's in the past?
Yeah.
It's not. And almost all the seminaries in the mainstream, mainline denominations teach that that actually already happened. Revelation 12 is future. So angels attended the birth of Jesus Christ. John, you over there in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Angels attended to, meaning not just sit back and attending, but they attended to the birth of Jesus Christ. Go ahead, John, 8 through 14.
There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Amen. That'd be quite a sight, wouldn't it?
Amen.
So you see, Jesus, you know, we would say it this way, Jesus to the angels is sort of a big deal.
Amen.
He's the creator, and they just are at his beck and call. They are with him by the millions at his throne. I believe there were probably millions there, and the shepherds said they were afraid. Wouldn't you be?
Oh, yeah.
Looking up and seeing that? What a thing that would have been. Jesus then prophesied of the angels ministering to him. In John 1, 50 through and 51 there, Janie. John chapter 1, verses 50 to 51.
Jesus answered and said unto him,
Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
That was a prophecy about the kind of thing they would see with the angels and Jesus. They would be ascending, descending, and ascending both ways, going up and down. Reminds you a little bit about Jacob's ladder, the vision he had. So in fulfillment of that prophecy, we see angels ministered to Jesus after his baptism and temptation in Mark 1, 9 through 13. Mary?
And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him.
And the angels ministered unto him. We're not giving a lot of detail, but we know what happened, generally speaking. So we're going to look at the angel at the resurrection in our next study for reasons that will be obvious then. But then we also see angels attended to Jesus' ascension in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus ascended to heaven. Kim, read verses 9 through 11.
And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.
So we talked about this in the last study, that angels are always referred to as men. And many times they're said to wear white apparel. The one thing missing are the wings. You never see wings mentioned regarding angels in the Bible. We do see it on cherubim and seraphim, but we'll talk about that in another study. But they're actually prophesying, basically, that Jesus is going to return just like he left. So an army of angels will gather the wicked at Jesus' second coming. Now, that's not the rapture, but at the second coming, the angels will gather the wicked together, according to Matthew 13, 41 through 43. Johnny, if you're there, you can read that. Matthew 13, 41 to 43.
Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Man, you don't want to be gathered up by the angels at that time. That's not a good thing. But Paul talks about this in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So that's going to be something else. We'll be there, but we're not going to, as far as I can tell, we're not going to be a part of the gathering up of the wicked. We'll be observers. We'll be watching as this all takes place. So there are many more nuggets on this subject. As I say, we're covering what we can in each of these studies. But you should watch for more as you read through the Bible. What we hope that these studies are like a motivation, or Dave Hunt used to say that he hoped that his books were a springboard, that you would kind of jump off into the deep in the Bible because of what you read in his books. It would motivate you to desire more, to learn more of the Word. And what we do here on Sundays and Wednesdays is to feed you so that then you get a bigger appetite for the Word of God. You go home and you read your Bible. We have a Bible reading plan You can start any time of the year, wherever you look up the date, and this time next year you'll have gone through the Bible, the entire Bible, and we're all reading it together. Folks that are online or anyone here who's on MeWe, Sister Katie Hintz has started a little group that we're reading together, of course, using that calendar, and people make comments, ask questions. But then, of course, when we get together here, you can do the same. But take what you learned tonight about angels, and as you continue to read through the Bible, see what else you can find there about angels and Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I had a good time. I hope you did too. Amen. We're going to sing about angels one more time before we go. Page 89 in your hymn book.
Rick, it's not Christmas.
And that's the hardback hymn book, by the way. One of the things that I've told folks over the years, when you study angels from the Bible, it does kind of ruin TV for you. Because then you'll see these shows and you're like, that's not real, that's not true, you know. But I just prefer to have the true story, amen?
Amen.
But I get excited, though. I can't wait. You know, Jesus is the first thing, first person I want to see in heaven. I want to see his eyes and look at him, you know, and hear his voice. I want to be in his presence. But on the list are angels. They're on that list. And I, you know, we're going to be surrounded. I just picture this, that we're going to be surrounding Jesus, but then surrounding us will be the angels. And I always think of my discussions with the young people over the years when I've been in youth, teaching youth ministry and youth Sunday school and that sort of thing, and they ask a lot of really good questions. And one kid said, I've been to Ohio Stadium before, and it was packed with 100,000 people, and I couldn't see people on the other side. I said, well, here's the thing. When you go to heaven, you get glorified eyeballs. And so however many millions are there, and millions, it's just like you get a good pair of binoculars and you got to focus those things in. Well, if man can do that, what can God do?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And so you're going to look across the way, and it might be a half mile down the road, and I'll see John. And I'll say, hey, Brother John, hey, over here. And he's not going to say, who is that? I can't see him. He's, hey, Brother Greg, how you doing? There are going to be a few people up there. They're going to see me and say, I can't believe he's here. Yeah, Jessica?
Just think about the people, like, in the church. About people who are blind.
Yeah.
The first thing they're going to see, is Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Wow. You know, and they haven't, Martha.
Yeah.
Then, you know, didn't we talk about that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Heaven's going to be so nice.
Praise God, yes.
All right, stand if you can. Let's sing page 89. Angels We Have Heard on High. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joy. Oh, All right. We are going to collect the prayer cards and go to prayer, so you can be seated for just a few more minutes. And the onliners, we say goodbye because we keep the prayers private and confidential and don't air it on the internet. But we'll check for your prayer requests online as we bid farewell on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Good night to all the onliners.
Farewell. Go get some tea.
Raise your hand.